Mishnah Gimel is the last Mishnah talking about selling a house, and it says, Hamocher es habayis, if a person sells a house and doesn't specify other things explicitly, Macher es hadelis, the door goes with the house. Which is, that gives you an idea of, because obviously what's a house without a door, and therefore it's functionally critical to it. However, avalo es hamavteach, the key to the door, since that's not an integral part of the house, it's not included in the house sale. Now, I understand this is hard to get, imagine what the mitzvah is, so what's a door without a key if it's a locking door? I don't know this for a fact, but my educated guess is that the keys must have been really non-specific. In other words, a generic key or one of, you know, the few types of keys they had would open the generic door, one of the few types of doors. And therefore, I'm telling you, I'd rather take my key with me and I'll use it for my next door. You follow what I'm saying? Not unlike the zero keys we have in our houses today. It must be that. Otherwise, it's obviously ridiculous. I just cannot imagine that the Mishnah would agree in this day and age, I can sell you the house and retain the keys for myself. It's just inconceivable to me. Because the key is an integral part of the door and part of the house today. Okay, so it must be this difference. Okay, it must be.
Must be related to, there must be some hassle to create the lock and the key.
Yeah, it must be.
Well, have the keys key, and having it with them.
Nothing is mechanized, right? Nothing is so that everything costs money to make. So this key costs me the equivalent, you know.
Not just money, but they can include this. They can change the price of the door to reflect the difference in price, but it must be the convenience.
Right, I want to keep my key.
The hassle.
I want to keep my key. When people sell their house, I know there's a halacha line like this, but this house, they want to take their mezuzah with them, obviously, because I can use them in my next house, I use my mezuzah. Why should I? Good, they're attached to the house now, but why should I leave them with you? This, by the way, the din is you can't take them with you.
You can ask for money for them.
Yeah, you can ask for money for them.
No, unless you have an agreement before, I thought, no? You're supposed to leave them, but
you're supposed to leave them before.
The guy's bringing his.
You can bring his if you want to. The ones you don't like, if a Jew's moving into your house, you can't take the mezuzah with you, you have to leave him for him. You're right, you can build into that cost the house. True. You can ask for payment for them, true. But don't mix up. I don't talk about mezuzah. I'm just telling you the point is, it's like the mafteach. In other words, it's true that the mezuzah is attached to the house, like as much as the key is attached, it's almost as much as the key is attached to the door. But the point is, when it comes to a key, my point is, you might say, I'll just take the mezuzah for the next house. But the answer is, no. You know, maybe the mezuzah is not a good example. Maybe I'll retrain. Pull it all back. I don't think it's a good example. Anyways, mezuzahs people do not take normally unless... The normal thing to do, unless otherwise arranged, specified, is to leave mezuzahs when you leave. Yeah. Okay. Now,
I just thought there was always agreed.
No, I don't think it is. Okay. Machar es ha-machtesh es ha-kavua. When you sell the house, this is every house, like they all lived on bread that they made for themselves every day. So a kitchen, just our kitchen couldn't function without running water and gas, so you know, a stove. Their kitchen couldn't function without a built-in machteshes, like a mortar, you know, that you use to grind up the grains of wheat. So that's like attached to the ground, it's like embedded into the ground in the kitchen. That's not coming with you, you have to leave it behind. Okay? Avalo esa mitalteles, if it's a movable, portable mortar, it doesn't have to stay. Obviously, like, you know, in other words, probably something analogous to in America, I think you have to leave the oven when you go, or the stove when you go. You don't take the stove and oven with you. You leave it behind for the next person, I think, right? But of course, the microwave, you don't leave, you can take it, it's portable. Something analogous to that. Like, you can't sell me a house and they'll leave me with the stove, are you crazy? It's like this, you can't leave. Yeah, that's something like that. Machresa, it's trobol. Okay, so one shot, it's trobol is, it's like wooden mounts, like a platform on which the flour grinder goes. I guess it needs to be there. I have to speculate a little bit because I'm not exactly sure the mitzvah, but it must be somehow, it was made out of wood, but it must have been somehow like bolted into the ground or the equivalent. It must be a permanent fixture. It's kavua, it's fixed. You know, it's fixed in the ground, it belongs there. And it must be, I'm speculating further, remember we saw earlier on in the second parak that you can't do this hand grinding too close to someone else's wall because the vibrations will jeopardize the structural integrity of the wall and make it cracks or whatever it is because of the vibrations. Noise and vibrations. So the idea here is that, I guess, the wood is going to absorb that, right?
Sure.
That's the point. So I'm exactly right. So this wood needs to be there. Exactly. It's a thick block sitting there to absorb. That's my educated guess what that block is doing there. And it's critical. Otherwise, it'll make holes and, the vibration will do you in. So that's included. Avaloas a kelas. The kelas, what Mshad is, it's like around where you do your flour grinding, there's like a catch, like let's call it a basin, that's what, you know, like a basin that catches the flour that falls out as you grind it. And you put it in, you grind it up, and there's like flour falling off to the sides. So something has to catch the flour. So that's this thing, that's the kelas. That's of course, that's like, you know, the equivalent of like a plastic thing that you take and move on with you, so that doesn't stay with the kitchen. Velos a tanur, velos a kiraim. If you have a tanur, which is like the oven, the conical oven exactly, or like a furnace more like, and the kiraim, which is like the double, it's like a stove top, exactly two tops. So those, if it's permanently attached to the ground, then it would be included. But if it's a portable one, a portable oven, or which they do roll them in, roll them out. So then, if it's a portable one, then you. Then it comes with the end. That's the Mishnah saying, it's not included in the sale. Okay, they roll them out. In the summertime, they roll them out of the house because they don't want it to be hot in the house. And in the wintertime, they roll them back in because they don't want it to get rained on and ruined. Okay? Sometimes it's fixed in the house. Now, if I sell you my house and everything in it, so I say in the sale, here's my house and everything inside of it, then all this stuff is included, meaning the stove, even though it's portable, and the kelis, even though it's, you know, not could come with me. That means like the appliances stay with the house. The equivalent of our saying appliances stay with the house. It obviously wouldn't include, you know, my shoes in the closet. Obviously, it doesn't mean every clean in the house. It means the kelim that go for normal functioning household, even the ones that conceivably could come with me, with the appliances are going to stay.